Blog Talk Radio.
I know you've been hurting, pain and love is all the same in your eyes. So baby, take a chance to really let me show you. And if you open up, I'll teach you how to love for life. Yeah.
Okay. Cynthia, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank God. Oh, my God. I have ended up calling on my cell phone. Now I think I have Saraya back. Saraya, are you back with me?
I'm back.
Okay, thank God. My actual host mic won't open, so I have to call on my cell phone. So... I don't know why. And then I'm glad you called back in, Saraya, because it will not let me open your mic. It only let me open up Cynthia's mic. And Cynthia couldn't hear me because my mic was closed. So we're going to try and get started with you, Ms. Saraya. I don't know. This is, like, crazy. But go ahead and get started with you, Ms. Saraya. Before we get to talking about your book and things like that, we just need to know a little bit about you and a little bit about the person, Saraya, before we get into the art of Saraya. So if you want to briefly tell us a little bit about your background, where are you from, you're married, and do you have kids, and things like that before we get started about the writer, Soraya.
Well, my name is actually Soraya.
I'm sorry.
It's no big deal. A lot of people call me Soraya. My own grandmother called me Soraya, so hey.
Okay.
I am originally from Cleveland, Ohio, born and raised. I moved to Las Vegas, Nevada, probably about 8.5 years ago. I am a single parent of three. I have a 20-year-old, 14-year-old, and a 6-year-old.
Oh, and a 20-year-old?
Yeah.
And a 6-year-old?
A 6-year-old, a 20-year-old, and a 14-year-old. Yep.
But I'm trying, no, I can deal with the 6 and 14. I mean, the 14 and 6. But I'm just trying to get this 20 versus 6. Lord have mercy, what were you thinking? You said so clear.
I know. I said the same thing. I said, I don't know. It's too late for me to go back, and I can't change it now. So I'm just rolling with the punches. Woo! But if I had had him first, he'd have been the only one. So.
Okay.
But that's me.
So when you sat down and decided to write a book, has it been a passion from you from a young age, or did this develop later on? How did you become the author, Soraya?
Well, I actually started writing very early in elementary school. It was one of my outlets to get through the things that I was going through at the time. But it was mostly like short story format and poetry and things like that. And it had become so prevalent that the school that I was going to at the time was a gifted school, and they started to display the poems that I was writing at all types of different ventures. They had actually even one time brought Maya Angelou out to meet me. So it was really cool. I felt really honored. But then I kind of slacked off for many, many years and didn't write much at all. And I wrote this book actually, I get 11, 12 years ago, and just was too afraid to do anything with it. So I just kind of sat on it for all of these years. And since finding Christ again, and finding the church that I started to go to, they started to help me relieve some of the fears, and I just decided to go forth. And so this year I rewrote the book, went back through it and rewrote it all, and just decided not to let anything stop me this time.
Right. Wow. So when you decided to actually go ahead and get this book in print, because like you say, you wrote it several years ago, when you decided, okay, I'm ready now, I'm ready to break out in the literary industry, what type of goal did you have for yourself? Like, were you intentionally did you set out to self-publish? Were you shopping for an agent to actually submit to a big publishing house? What was your actual, goal in publishing? How did you want to actually originally publish?
My goal, although I did look at a few self-publishing options, my ultimate goal was honestly to get with a publishing company, a recognized publishing company, because just with the help that they could offer as far as getting the name of the book and, you know, my name out there versus the self-publishing role. So I spoke with quite a few self-publishing entities, but ultimately I ended up going with NCM Publishing just because, for one, you know, my really good friend also has her book with them, and she referred me, but I just liked what it was that they could offer me as an author, especially a new author. So,
right. And Nicola, she is a girlfriend of mine, author friend of mine, and me and Nicola has traveled together and been on the road together. So she is definitely one of the people that you need to be linked with, because she is a go-get'em. So, and I'm very proud of her success because she's doing well, you know, for a young black woman. Yes, she's doing well. So congratulations on joining the NCM family, because that's a good place to be.
Thank you. I love it.
My next question would be this book, When is Strong Strong Enough? How did you come up with that title? What did that title stem from?
It really was just because it was a question that I used to ask God all the time when I was growing up, because I had been through the ringers and back. And so I just used to always be like, oh, my God, like, how strong do I need to be? Is it, can this just be enough already? I'm tired of going through one thing after another. And I was always, even from a young age, the strong one in the family. Like, my mom was really weak, I would say, and not to belittle her, but it was just that she didn't have the backbone that I had. I guess going through the things that I went through, it just made me really tough. And so I was just one of those ones who would pretty much face anything and challenge it head on, you know. So, and it just got to the point where I was tired of that. Like, I wanted to be the weak one sometimes, and it never worked out that
way. You wanted to be the one to go to someone versus the go-to person.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Totally understand.
So that's the story behind the name.
And that is an actual good title. I've never actually heard anything close to that title before, so that was a very creative title. So I'm loving the title of the book. Now, take us in between the pages of the book before we even talk about what's going on inside the book. What genre would you describe your book to be in? What category would you put your book in?
I would have to put it in self-help.
Okay.
That would be where I would go with it. And it may fall into some other categories, but I think that the biggest impact would be in the self-help category because of the way that it's designed. Although it's designed as an autobiography, the ultimate goal of it is to offer help to people, because the subtitle of the book is How to Push Through the Pain. So what it does is teaches its readers, you know, different methods of coping with things and just trying to push forward versus giving up.
Right. So is the book, I guess, novel formatted or more so? Because I understand that you offer self-help, but is it formatted in a self-help structure, or does it read like a novel?
It reads like a novel.
Oh,
yeah,
great.
It's a novel structure.
Okay. Well, go ahead and tell us a little bit about it. Tell us a little bit about the main character and what's going on between the pages of this novel when it's strong enough.
Well, I am the main character.
You can tell as much as you want or withhold as much as you want. You don't have to give away any spoilers. Just in your own words, take us between the pages.
Okay. The book is all about me, basically. It starts around age, I want to say 4 or 5 years old, and it really just chronicles pretty much in order of all the traumatic events that I've been through, from molestation to abuse to the family lies to promiscuity to teen pregnancy to, I mean, just everything on down the line. And it really just kind of goes into depth about each one of the events that I went through. And at the end of each chapter, I think what sets it apart is that at the end of each chapter, it offers kind of some pointers for the reader just to kind of recap what I've been through and to let them know that I definitely didn't write the book to glorify any of the things that I went through or any of the choices that I made, but just to teach them how not to go through the things that I went through. So that's pretty much the whole book. And it actually, when I rewrote it, it now follows me all the way up until recent, like last year, whereas before it kind of cut off about 12 years ago. But I've been through so many things since then as well, you know, with domestic violence and so on and so forth, that I had to include all of that stuff as well. So the book can touch so many different people, and that was actually, you know, my motivation as I was writing it, just to detail everything, because I know that people can relate to that, and a lot of people like detail. So I wanted to be able to relate to as many people as possible across the board.
Right. So tell me, how difficult was that? Because a lot of times when people do a tell-all or invite you into their space, which is, you know, these are personal events, these are true events that took place. How was that for you? What were you thinking to myself, like, at points like, oh, my God, do I want to tell this? How, you know, how did that make you feel when you sat down to rehash all these things? Because especially with molestation or things like that, I know those are some painful things to revisit. So how is the process of writing this book for you?
Girl, that's probably why. Whew, that is why, that's a, the biggest reason why I sat on it for so many years, because although writing it was therapeutic for me, I was definitely afraid for anybody to actually read it. So, you know, it was like, I can't reveal this to people, you know. So, but I think what helped me is, like I said, going to the church that I go to now, it just made me a little bit more transparent, and it made me understand that I had a mission in life, and my mission was to help people in this way. So I just kind of put my own fears on the back burner and just didn't really think about it as I was writing it. Like, I was afraid, and there was times that came out, and I'm like, oh, and I've even called Cynthia, like, oh, I don't know if I should put this in there. Should I take this out? You know, and it was just like, oh, it was some really tough points throughout the book, but I really had to stay motivated and just kind of push forward, because that was my mission. And since then, thank God, I've gotten a lot of interest in doing other things that's been off from the book. So it's definitely taking form. You know, the mission is unfolding, and so I'm really, really grateful that I chose to put those fears aside. But it was hard. It was really hard.
Now, I'm looking, the book doesn't actually release until June 5th, and I honestly tell you that I would love for you to come back around that release date, because with the show, I tell people all the time, when your novel's not released yet, people tend to forget. So I would love to have you to come back once it releases, so we can refresh some minds about the book, because we don't want this book to be forgotten and not be returned to. But since the book hasn't been released, have you had any, what I want to say, flack from, I guess, people that know you or people that's close to you, maybe, like, giving you any negative advice? Like, I can't believe, you know, because I have had people on the show who, I guess, released a tell-all or has revisited some, you know, hurtful stage in their life. And a lot of people, like, I guess, parties involved, or pissed, you know, didn't want to be exposed or things like that. So have you gotten any flack from close family members or any participants about you actually releasing the book that's so, I guess, personal? Have you had anyone to say, don't do it, or giving you any negative, I guess, feedback in doing so?
I haven't actually gotten negative feedback from anybody, which is amazing to me. But no, I haven't, and, you know, I changed everybody's name. Nobody has their God-given name in the book. So, you know, those people who went through whatever it was that I was speaking about will most likely know who they are. But, again, it was my own personal life that I'm divulging. So, to be honest, the attitude that I went forth with was, if they're bothered by my truth, then that's on them. I really can't. I don't have anything to do with that. So, you know, the only one person that I ended up letting read the book just to get her approval was my mom. And that was actually only after the urging of Cynthia, because I wasn't even doing that. But, you know, she suggested that I do that just because my mom is so prevalent throughout the entire book. So she's the only person that I ended up even caring about an opinion from. Anybody else, really, to me, to be honest, to be really honest, was just irrelevant.
I do understand that. And this is your first actual published novel. Tell me honestly, in your own words, just the feeling that you, because, you know, it's going to be, you're going to go through so many stages, please trust me. I love what I do. I love writing. I thank God I just released my fifth complete novel over the weekend.
Wow.
But it's always a new feeling. Even when I open a box and have a new book in my hand. You haven't had that experience yet, and I know it's coming. How did you actually feel to say, okay, I'm published now. I am a published author. What, initial feeling did you feel?
My emotions mostly have just been that of anxiety and worry a little bit and kind of impatience. I've probably driven Nicola crazy. I'm sure I have.
It's a process. It takes time. It's a process.
But I'm so grateful to her for all that she's done for me and her reactions and dealings with me, because she's been so patient when I call her freaking out or texting her freaking out or something. So I'm very grateful that I got linked up with her. But I've been just mostly anxious. Like, it's not happening fast enough for me, but then it's happening so fast that I'm worried. So it's just all kinds of mixed up emotions. So
and
I just can't wait to have the first copy.
I can tell you truthfully with Nicola, it's not a front, it's not fake. Nicola is a genuine, relaxed, patient, soft-spoken person. Even sometimes when I find out, I'm like, look, speak up. You don't have to whisper to me. Because she's just so, Nicola is, that's her personality, that's the persona that she, and it's not fake, that's just who she is. She deals with everybody like that. Even Nicola's been around my daughter, and my daughter loves Nicola to death, because Nicola's so, ain't like me, I'm rough. I yell, I talk a lot of crazy shit, you know. But Nicola's not like that. So you actually teamed up with the right person, because somebody would have told you, look, lose my number.
I know. And I think, like I said, it was all God's mission. He knew exactly who to put me through and hook me up with, because anybody else would have been like, you know what, you need to go help out.
Right. So are you working on anything new? I know we haven't actually released book one yet, but in the meantime, are you currently writing? Do you have something else that might be coming up this year, or tell me, what are you working on now? A little bit, if you want to know what it's about and about when.
Yeah, I actually have two projects that I'm working on right now. Hopefully the one I'm just waiting on an approval from is actually a compilation that I'm trying to do with my church, and I'm trying to kind of make it a spinoff from this book and incorporate stories of the church's members, stories of redemption and miracles. So, like, each person or family can incorporate their story into the book. So that's the second project that I'm working on. I'm supposed to get an approval this month, whether we can, or April, whether we can move forward with that. And then my next book has nothing to do with any of this stuff. It's a complete novel. But my ultimate goal is to take kind of a section of my life and and write a novel about that specifically. So the next novel, I'm not going to release the title yet, because I haven't done anything with it yet, but it's going to be a pretty deep novel, and it's going to kind of pit two similar characters against each other. Just like both of them are prostitutes in their own right in different ways. And so it kind of pits their two characters against each other, one thinking they're better than the other kind of thing. So
right.
It should be really interesting. So hopefully that one will probably be next year, though, but hopefully the second book, with the compilation book, will be out. I'm hoping we can get that, or at least going, or almost out by the end of the year.
Right. Well, I have a couple more questions, and we're going to move on to our second half of our segment and talk with Miss Cynthia.
Okay.
I always ask artists, because I know what your goal is in writing. But when you're not writing, when you sit down and actually open up a book to read for pleasure, what is your genre? What do you like to read?
I like different stuff. I like a lot of self-help. I have a ton of self-help books. But I like kind of like crime, romance-type novels, suspenseful. I like suspenseful-type reads. I get really into those types of books. So I would have to say that's like one of our other authors, Imani True, her book, A Little Something Something, that's right up my alley.
Imani is doing her thing. I was like, oh my God, congratulations. She is doing her thing. Yes.
I love her. And her book is right up my alley. That's the type of book that I go after when I go to purchase books to sit out and read whenever I have time to do that.
Right. Well, I know by the book, and it's like I have to ask different questions because the book is actually not out yet. But I do, my last question before I do get into your contact information is that have you scheduled any events? Like, I know you do the events in June. As of when your book released, do you have anything coming up where people can come out to meet you or see you?
Yes, I have two, actually. I have a book release party here in Las Vegas on June the 9th.
Okay.
And that will be at the La Quinta Inn and Suites, the Summerlin Tech Center, over in Tenaya and Cheyenne, from 3 to 7. It is open to the public. It is a free event, and there'll be lots of fun, food, music, entertainment. It's they'll have pool access if they purchase a book there. So it should be a lot of fun. And then I have a second book release party scheduled for my hometown, Cleveland, Ohio. For
Cleveland.
Yes.
I'm from Chicago. We're right next door.
Yep. I have my release party there in June. Right now it's scheduled, and the date may change one day, but right now it's scheduled for June 30th from 1 to 4 p.m. at the Cleveland Heights Rec Center. And it'll be a similar event to what I'm having here as well.
In Vegas. Okay, and leave us with your contact information. Are you on Facebook,
okay.
Twitter right now? How could readers out there get in contact with you?
Yes, I want to also say, excuse me, that the book is available for pre-sale on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now. It is also available for pre-sale on my website, which is www.sorayachristine.com, and that is spelled S like Sam, O-U-R-A-Y-A-C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-E. So sorayachristine.com. I'm also on Facebook. You can find me under author Soraya Christine. And Twitter, my hashtag is at Soraya Christine without the E on the end of Christine. Too many letters.
Oh, we thank you so much, Ms. Christine, for joining us tonight. And I sincerely apologize. I'm telling you, I have been overwhelmed. And I'm telling you, I came back in town on the 22nd of March. And I've been working every day because I am short-staffed. At the hotel I work at, and I still have not even been able to spend too much time with my husband. So I'm like, oh, God, when does it end? So between motherhood, being an author, and working a full-time job now, because I was part-time, but now I'm not anymore, I'm just overwhelmed. So I do sincerely apologize about not getting you on your scheduled date. I had a lot of things going on, and I was traveling the next morning. So I really got sidetracked, so I do apologize. But in the future, I definitely want you to come back in June, though, because I do want to recap, because I want readers to know when the book is actually out on the Kindle and the Nook and things like that, because those are the I guess the hottest commodities right now. So definitely have to schedule to come back. But I wish you all the success in the world. You keep going.
You.
And I'm telling you, my advice to you is be patient. What's for us is for us. But you have to work hard. It doesn't stop at this. It is a constant thing, constant. So good luck to you.
Absolutely. Thank you. And thank you so much for having me on.
All righty. Well, we're going to move on to our second good night, Ms. Christine. You can actually hang on the line if you want, or you can go ahead and let go and just listen in.
Yeah,
later.
I'll hang on so I can listen.
Okay. All right. And if I get any callers in the queue, I definitely will open your line back up in case we get any questions.
Okay.
All right, we're going to go ahead and move over to our second hour a little bit with my next guest, Ms. Cynthia Evans. Cynthia, if you can hear me, say hello.
Hello, Anna.
Hello, Cynthia. How are you?
I'm doing fabulous. How are you?
I'm great. Welcome onto the show, and thank you for being so patient. I used to do my interviews a little different. I used to do both authors, you know, at the same time where they answer the same question. But yeah, I look confused and people don't know who they're listening to. So I changed the format. So I do thank you for being patient and allowing me to talk with Ms. Christine first. But Lisa,
no
problem. Can you do your interview in your book real quick, if you want to give us a little insight about who you are, where you're from, and a little bit more about you before we talk about the author you.
Cool. I am Cynthia Evans. I'm 33. I'm married. I've been married for 3 years now. I have two adult stepkids and one son who will be 13 this year. And I'm also a grandmother, excited about that. I have a 5-year-old granddaughter, born and raised in Chicago, Illinois, South Side.
Hey, me too.
That town. So,
what side? You know, what side? Wait a minute, Cynthia. What side? What side you from?
Look, okay, I'm gonna go all the way there for you. When I say Southside, I'm talking about State Street, Martin Luther King, Robert Taylor Holmes, Ida B. Wells. So you don't even know nothing about that, do you?
I do, baby. Yeah. I was born and raised on 119th and Norman in the Roseland area. Went to Carver High School, so I know, boo.
So the low end for sure.
Yes,
the
ma'am.
Low end for
yes,
sure.
Ma'am.
So I live in Vegas, but I brought a whole bunch of Chicago here with me. It's so funny. One of my old friends from high school said that I'm responsible for bringing a percolator to Las Vegas. You remember the percolator? Girl,
yes. I still do it to today.
Yeah,
if
he's like,
it,
yeah, you brought
to
the percolator to Las Vegas. So, yeah.
Wow.
But, yeah, I'm a student. I'm working on my master's now in marriage and family therapy. And that's about it. Just enjoy being on break right now.
Now, this is your first published novel. Am I correct?
Yes, it is.
And it's called The Voice of Sin. Sin is spelled C-Y-N, you guys, who's listening in. Traces of a Backslider. Tell me. Where did that title come from? Come on now. Who created that title?
Well, my husband actually came up with Voices of Sin, C-Y-N. He's really creative when it comes to stuff like that. Because backsliding is dealing with issues of sin as far as it pertains to me, and my name is Cynthia, he thought, oh, wow, we can do a spin off of S-I-N and just do your name, since it's kind of, you know, a story talking about some of the, you know, things that you've experienced in your life and so on and so forth. And most of them were sinful in nature, so that's how he came up with Voices of Sin. So we decided to use that as, like, my brand name. So all of my books will have Voices of Sin on it somewhere. But the book itself, Traces of a Backslider, I came up with that. It's long, I know. But I wanted it because the book tells a journey. And, you know, I'm kind of going back over different things that I've experienced. So different traces, different experiences in my life. So because the book takes you on a journey, then I felt Traces of a Backslider would be befitting. So that's kind of how we got the name.
And that's cool because now you have a brand. But Voice of Sin, everybody's going to be able to recognize your title and know it comes from you. That's your stamp. So that was a brilliant idea, and I congratulate you on that because I'm thinking, like, I get it now after you pointed out. Because at first I'm like, C-Y-N, and it didn't click until you actually said something. So I feel a little slow, but now I get it. It's catchy, and that's your brand. So I think you signed off on a Facebook with that.
Oh, okay. Cool. Thank you.
So what promoted the author, Cynthia? I mean, like, how did this literary person become? Have you been writing forever, or did you start writing at a late age? How did you become the author, Cynthia?
Well, before I became the author, Cynthia, I was the lovebird, Cynthia. I mean, my writing started because I fell in love with a man a long time ago, and I had no idea that it was called, you know, poetry or short stories and all that stuff. Then I was just kind of writing down how I felt, and then I started putting little rhymes on the end of it and became a rapper for a little bit. And so, you know, but it all started from, like, having these overwhelming emotions from the experiences that I shared with my so-called first love, and he was a rapper, so I loved everything about him. So he rapped, I wanted to rap too. So he would be sitting at the table writing his raps down, and I'd be sitting at the table writing down how I felt about him. And that's pretty much how it started for me. And I would say I was probably about 12 years old at the time. And I did enter a contest in my school, writing a little short story about my brother, and it won first place. But I never looked at my writing as a gift or anything that, you know, was special. I was even surprised that I had won. But I knew that I enjoyed it because I liked the things that I was writing about. Because, you know, I was talking about real issues, talking about being in love, wanting to, you know, make love and know what love is and all this other stuff and all the crazy stuff that came out of thinking that I was in love. So that's where it started for me. And like I said, I went from, you know, writing poems to short stories to raps and eventually just decided to write a novel.
Right. So when you sat down to actually put forth that energy to complete your first novel, what was your goals for publishing? Did you think that I will publish, or was it something you just had to birth and get it out? Or did you have any specific publishing goals when you actually sat down to write this novel?
No, ma'am. I definitely was pregnant with this and needed to bring it forth, needed to give birth to this project. Well, I was inspired by Toya Carter. Well, her dad's name isn't Carter anymore. She's married, but Lil Wayne's baby mama, his baby mama. Anyway, when she had wrote her book, you know, and started promoting it and stuff like that, because I was watching the Tiny and Toya show, and, you know, I saw her starting her little journey, her process and stuff, and when she actually finished it, I was so inspired. I was like, wow, she actually sat down, said she was going to do something, and finished it. So, you know, we had a lot of similarities in our life as far as, you know, having parents addicted to drugs and a father being absent and stuff like that. And just the fact that, you know, she sat down and finished it and now she was out promoting it and working it, I was inspired by that. So I had gave myself a goal. The summer had just started and I was done with school for the summer and I wasn't working. And so I said, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to start my book, and I'm going to finish it before the fall starts, when school starts back again. And that was the plan. And when I sat down and I did just that, I completed the whole project over the summer. Really, I thought I was done with it, you know, just in a month and a half or so. But then, of course, I had to go back and start adding things. But that's how it started for me. And so as far as publishing goes, well, when I sat down and started to write the book, I didn't plan on writing Voices of Sin, Traces of a Backslider. So this was like fresh meat. It was, you know, it was just ready. It was just ready for me to do right then at that time. When I sat down, I was going to do an urban fiction. I was going to talk about some dysfunctional, crazy relationships, maybe some baby mama, baby daddy drama, you know, just some juicy stuff, you know, kind of the stuff I've seen in the projects and things like that, and just give it some names and everything. But this happened, and this wasn't the plan. That's how I know it was divinely inspired, and I just kind of went with the flow for this. So, yeah, this baby just, I'm telling you, it just came out of nowhere. It really did. And as far as publishing goes, I said, well, you know, there was a reason why God wanted me to write this book. So I am going to go ahead and publish it, but I was going to self-publish it. You know, I wasn't going to get a bunch of copies and all this stuff, just a couple of copies and, you know, put it out myself. And, you know, if it just reached one person, you know, I served my purpose. Everything is all good. But I met Nicola. So
right.
When I met Nicola, the whole game changed. So you already know her hustle mentality and Miss that Jamaica in that chat town, and it was just like, all right, let's go do it. Let's go make it happen. These stories need to be heard, need to be told and shared, and that's the direction that we went with it. And it's been doing really good so far, so I'm excited about that.
Wow. So take us between the pages of this novel, your first novel, Traces of a Backslider. Give us the form of what this book is based on and what it's about. Just give us a little insight on what's going on inside this novel.
Sure. It is a novel in and of itself, but it has a couple of poems because, like I said, I do write poetry, and it also has a short story. But, again, it is a novel. And what this book does, pretty much, it speaks to men, women, boys, girls, I mean, of all ages, really. I thought that my age group would be, you know, around my age, which is 33 and younger, but I've been getting the most positive feedback from older people. But what it does is it's not really a tell-all book, but there are memoirs. I kind of talk about a situation that I was in involved with a guy where it was, you know, he abused me. Physically, domestic violence. So kind of talk about that. I talk about searching for love in all the wrong places, getting involved with men, you know, committing adultery. Sometimes those men were married men. And just dealing with my flesh, really.
Right.
So as a Christian, my Christian journey, since being saved at 16 years old, I was saved at 16, but I was still in the world. All I knew was that I went to church one day, I got baptized, and they told me that I was saved. But as far as the order of things go, you know, that building that relationship with God and all that stuff, like, I didn't get that. So I got baptized in the name of Jesus, came up filled with the Holy Ghost, but I was still Cynthia. I was still doing all the things that I love to do, which was sex outside of wedlock, drinking to get drunk, sleeping around, and everything else. So when I say traces of a backslider, this is me now being saved, but yet still living in the world, very contrary to what the society says a Christian is supposed to live. And I talk about that. And so it's just to let people know that, you know, Christians are real people. And people see me today, they see me now, and they're like, I have no idea. I can't believe that, you know, you used to smoke weed or that you drink or that you were sleeping around and all this other stuff. And so I was like, well, that's the whole reason why I wanted to do this project, because you see me up in church now and you think that I'm all together and, you know, everything is all good and I ain't never been through nothing or I'm not even going through anything today. But the reality is no, my flesh still gets weak. So the things that I struggle with, I have to deal with on a daily basis. So I want to encourage people like me, you know, that still slipping into the things of the world, that no matter what it is that you're going through and no matter what other people say looking at you, that you keep coming to church no matter what, you keep seeking Christ and establishing your relationship with him, because it's through Christ that transformation will begin, and we will begin to, you know, live the life that God has designed for us to live versus, you know, doing things the old way that we normally always do that just constantly get us in trouble, you know, whatever those bad habits are, the simple nature is, you know? So when you read my book, then you hear, you know, all of these different experiences that this chick went through saved. Like, what? Really? Like, oh, they do that, you know? And it's like, yeah, we do, you know, but guess what? You know, things are better now. I'm still transforming, still transitioning. I'm still not perfect, you know, and I just want people to know.
And we can't, and that's the thing, we can't get there. People think, people have this, I guess, this real misconception that we cannot be Christ-like. We can't. That goal is going to be accomplished. And whether y'all think, believe it or not, whether you want it to be or not, no matter what, it's going to come a day when we will be all transformed. So that's our goal. We are rehearsing the righteous acts. We are. We can't make it. We can't get there. You can't get to a point where you deny your flesh of things. People don't see that. People always say, oh, I'm only human. Stop making excuses. You can do anything you want to do. You can do anything you want to do. You can't. It's not impossible. It's not impossible to please God. It's not.
It's so crazy, because I read something the other day, and it said something about the simplicity in serving Christ, and it blew my wig back. Literally, my wig. I have one of those. But anyway,
I have one now.
It blew my wig back, because I was reading it, and it was that simple. And I talk about that in the book, how we make it seem so difficult to live for Christ and to be righteous. Like, we have all of these excuses in the world, you know. And I talk about that in the book, all of the excuses and stuff that we come up with, you know. But at the end of the day, it's only as difficult as we make it. And a lot of times it's just the pressure that we put on ourselves, because now we want to compare ourselves to other people. Well, such and such look like, you know, that they're not struggling with anything and so on and so forth, and I can't be like that, so I might as well just give up, because I'm going to always do this, so I'm going to always do that. You know what I mean? It's like we overwhelm ourselves with our own standards. Like, I think that if we can just relax that, those standards that we set on ourselves in Christianity, period, and just focus on God and our relationship with him, that it would be so much easier. Then we will see just how simple living for Christ can be, but we are our biggest challenge. We get in the way of things.
Yeah, we're in our own way. You're exactly right about that. We are our biggest critics, I can say, because we even hold grudges against ourselves, and Christ didn't let it go. Like, you didn't repent, that you move on, but you still dwelling on it. Christ is not even nowhere where you are. You need to get on board and catch up, because you still having yourself feeling towards yourself. We need to forgive yourself, because a lot of people will have a hard time doing that as well. So the motivation of this book, Tracing of a Backslider, just tells it the way it is. I can understand that, because we have issues. None of us are perfect. We're not, but we can be. And we can overcome sin with righteousness. It's possible, people. This is why we have people like Ms. Cynthia Evans out here writing these books. We have people like Ms. Christine writing these books, because anything, we can get past all things. We don't have to stay and dwell in our sorrow, our misery, or things that hurt us. We can get past all things and overcome anything. Anything.
Yep.
It's possible.
Yep. It say there is nothing, there is absolutely nothing too hard for God. And then it's so when you find those type of people that always sounding defeated and always negative and just always heavy burden and things like that, then you know where they're spending their time. They're spending their time and their energy around the same people that have that same mentality or energy as they do, because, you know, how can you, you know all that you know about God and communicate with him like you're supposed to and stay in your word and stay in right fellowship and still feel that way all the time? I mean, yes, granted, every day is not a good day, especially
right.
If you're married. You know, it's so much simpler for these single folks that's trying to hurry up and get married. I tell them, take your time, honey, take your time.
Exactly.
Once you become
leave it alone.
Married,
just wait.
Yes, the single person has the cares of the world, but a married person now has the care of their spouse. So it's like, just do you and Jesus right now. But anyway,
right.
that's just it's crazy, but it's true and it's real, and that's really what inspired me to do that, because the one thing about me is that I'm not gonna give up. No matter how faint-hearted I get at times or how much I seem like I'm losing all faith and hope, like, I can't give up, and I know that I'm not alone. So I just want people to, you know, just continue on the journey with me. You know, let's do this. Let's pray for each other. Let's lift one another up. Let's encourage each other, because at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. You know, the greatest commandment is love. So if we show that, you know, to a person that's struggling, then how much more are they going to be willing to love the Lord and come to the Lord?
And we lead by example. We definitely lead by example. You have to be doing the things that you're expecting other people to do. You can't be preaching out of one side of your mouth and doing something out the other end. So that is definitely, we have to be examples. If you believe, you're a believer. If you're doing righteous, you do righteous things, and that's just it. You cannot preach and throw things down, shove things down people's throat if you're not living that life yourself. So you have to be definitely an example of what you're preaching.
Exactly. And in doing that, at those times when you are at your weakest or you are at your faintest, then you need to be transparent about it. Because if you keep trying to let people think that everything is all good all the time, and then they see you at a time when it's not, you know what I'm saying? It's like they get those mixed messages, and it's like, but they need
right.
to see both sides. But like you say, lead by example, definitely. But that's what I love so much about the book. It's traces of a backslider. It's a journey. So I talked about the path a little bit in this particular book, but in my next project, it's like, where do we go from here? You know, we've opened up, we've shared about this, we've dealt with being fatherless, we've dealt with having mother who struggled with addictions, we've dealt with sleeping around and all of this other stuff. Now, where do we go from here? So I'm really excited about the next project, you know,
so
kind of putting this behind. Mm-hmm.
So you are working on something new now, because I know your book was released in February last month, so you are working on something new. Is this new project due to release this year, or are you just going to focus on promoting the first book first? Do you have a title and, I guess, an upcoming date for your new novel?
I'm focusing on promotion this year with Traces of a Backslider. I'm not going to release the new book until next year, because my husband actually is releasing his book at the end of this year. So we're going to just kind of work those two novels for now. But I am going to put it out for sure next year, no later than February. And the title is The Power of Today. So it's really just going to focus on, you know, today and moving forward and not getting so caught up in the past. Not forgetting that those things happen, but really learning from those things and using that to strengthen you to move forward.
Right. So real quick, though, because our show is going to come to the end in a few moments, since the book is already released, do you have any upcoming events or any places you're going to be where people can come out and see you that's in your area, or you plan to travel? What's on your agenda for promoting this book?
I'm definitely doing events. I'm focusing on the churches right now. I have my next event is coming up in April. I want to say it's April the 28th, but you can get updated information about where I will be promoting a book and selling a book or even doing speaking engagements on my website, which is www.voicesofsin. Again, sin is C-Y-N, so that's voicesofsin.com. And I keep my events page updated. I know that I'm speaking at a church next month here in Las Vegas in April while I'm doing a mother and daughter's tea. And I want to say it's April the 28th, but again, just go to my website and all of my speaking engagements and everything will be listed there. It's voicesofsin.com, C-Y-N.com, Voices of Sin.
Wow. Thank you so much, Cynthia. And I'm like embarrassed because I've been published since 08 now and just released my fifth novel. My website is not updated because these people didn't went and added a new program that I'm not familiar with. And I have not even had the chance to even sit down to actually learn the new programs to update my website. So I'm ashamed.
It's all right. It's a lot. We are in a busy world today. It's a lot going on. I actually don't even run my own website. I have someone that does it for me because I have no idea what to do.
Yeah, and I actually run my own. I do a lot of stuff on my own. So that's why I have so much on my plate. But we do wish you all the success in the world. And in essence, you informed us that your husband is going to be releasing a novel. Definitely he needs to come on the show, talk about his project and what he's doing when he gets out there.
Absolutely.
And it's an open-door policy. You are welcome to come back anytime you want. I'm going to go ahead and open up the line again for Ms. Christine while she's online to thank you guys both for hanging out with us tonight. And I hope to have you guys back on the show. We also do panel discussions. We try and do panel discussions once a month. And it's open to artists and readers. So if you guys want to always chime in on a panel discussion, you guys are more than welcome. But I wish you, Cynthia.
Only we go to basketball Tuesday.
I don't want to say Soraya. The best of luck, and I do want to invite you guys to come back and hang out with us in the future. If you first to Soraya, since the your line is open, did you have anything to add before we close out the show?
Not really anything to add, but just look out for events and engagements and different things like that on the website again, which is www.sorayachristine.com. And again, just thank you very much for allowing me this opportunity.
Thank you so much, Ms. Rye. And Ms. Evans, do you have anything to add before we close out?
Yes, ma'am. Just a reminder that Voices of Sin, Traces of a Backslider is available for purchase now. You can get it on Amazon.com, or you can order it on BarnesandNoble.com or on the NCM Publishing website. The book is available for purchase on Kindle as well. And so I'm just encouraging people to go out and get it. If you don't need it for yourself, trust me, you know someone who will be blessed by this book. I promise you. It's been a blessing.
I thank you, ladies, so much for joining me tonight. And I hope to have you guys back on soon.
Thank you, Miss Anna.
You.
We'll see you soon.
All right. Good night.
Bye.
All righty, everybody. We were just joined by two newcomers to the literary world, Miss Cynthia Evans and Miss Soraya Christine. Their books are available right now. Well, I'm sorry. Cynthia's books are available right now on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, and NCM Publishing.com. And Miss Christine, her book will be available for you guys on June 5th, I believe. And she's going to come back and spend some time with us close to that due date and once the book release. Again, I do want to remind you guys that this year, AANBC has actually inducted a new award to our forum, and this award, literary award, is to give honor and tribute to Mr. Nady Holmes. He was just recently killed in Phoenix, Arizona this year, leaving behind his legacy, and his colleagues and friends mourn his death, and AANBC Tamika Newhouse also has. So we're going to give an honorary award this year called the Nady Holmes Honorary Award. And we do have a couple people that are up for nomination. That's Quan Treasure E. Blue, Ms. Radia Hubert, David Weaver, Tracy D., and Ms. Tracy Brown. So keep in mind, you guys, if you need more information about the Urban Book Festival, Wards for Baltimore, just go to BaltimoreUrbanBookFestival.com to get more information on that. I want to leave you guys with a little Beyonce tonight. Then we will actually see you guys back, I believe, on April 2nd or 1st. 1st or 2nd, whichever that Tuesday is, because we won't be back on the 29th. So you guys have a great night. Have a great weekend. And we'll see you guys back here soon. Have a great night. And thank you for joining us on the show.
You a bad girl and your friends bad too. Oh, she got the swag, so she drippin' swag goo. You a bad girl and your friends bad too. Oh, she got the swag, so she drippin' swag goo. Oh,
I may be young, but I'm ready to kill you all, my love. I told my girls you can get it. Don't slow.
Friends bad too. Oh, you got the swag, so she drippin' swag too. Oh.